He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this thing we call Easter. But we're Easter people year-round. We know that Christ has conquered death, and that means we one day also will pass right through death through our resurrection. To those of you who are new, my name is David Langwisch, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. This is our Lakewood campus. This year, we're opening up a Southwest campus down in Littleton. We have a care point down in Guatemala in Suchitepequez. And this, in a sense, is one of our campuses. This is the only way some of us connect. But I want you to know you are an important part of our ministry. And I know so many of you. And I want you to know I love you and I'm thinking of you this Easter. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion in this service, so prepare yourself for that. If that's a question for you, let's have a conversation about that. But are you ready? Are you ready to celebrate the resurrection and all that means for us? Let's worship, and let's do it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Celebration of Easter morning is great and glorious as we celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty, that death, sin, and the devil have been defeated. And so this glorious day as we celebrate, let's bow our heads and let's humble ourselves in confession to God as we go to Him again and again, over and over, for the forgiveness of sins. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, today our heart's desire is to celebrate, not just because the tomb is empty, but because with your Son's resurrection, it means that our sin has been paid for and that the promise of eternal life, that these mortal bodies, these frail bodies, these bodies that continue to struggle with sin, will be raised brand new, just as your son was. Father, that is great news for us. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we have fallen short, where we have not loved our neighbor. Father, where we have been selfish, where we have murdered those around us with our words, where we have stolen time, resources from an employer or from our families. Father, our heart's desire is to live as Jesus lived, but it is not possible with our sinful self. But we know that through faith in Jesus and his death and ultimately his resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Father, we humbly ask today, forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. To say he is risen indeed, alleluia. Oh, those are great, sweet words. Sweet, just like these. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. And our gospel lesson, which will serve as the sermon text, is from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. And having heard God's word, let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Lord God, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we take some time today to travel back in time, to think about that first Easter, what it meant, and calling on our hearts and the hearts of mankind to believe what you've done, to believe in some ways the unbelievable, and to know, Lord Jesus Christ, you came back from death, and you came back for us. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. On Good Friday, so this is just a couple of days ago, I said a crucifixion is a horrible way to die. And it is. It is just unimaginable suffering and anguish. No one should have to die that way. But I think everyone would agree it's believable. I mean, even people who are not Christians, they have to admit that, you know, crucifixions, they can and they have happened, still happen today. And, you know, most likely for them, that's how Jesus died, right? It's believable. But a resurrection from death, that's another story. And just in fairness to our non-Christian friends, it is harder to believe. We just don't have that whole bank of other occurrences like we do with the crucifixion. And there are stories, okay? I mean, there are stories of people, you know, coming back from death. There's the movie, you know, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Man dies in a car crash. And then he comes back to life an hour and a half later, telling stories of the things that he saw. And then we hear other accounts of people that they flatline or they're briefly dead or a near-death experience. But to be dead for 3 days? You know, even for the followers of Jesus back on that first Easter, the idea that Jesus had come back from dead, that was hard for them to believe. It certainly was unexpected. And actually, honestly, what we're going to see today for some, we'll see that it maybe is even unwanted. The message of Easter is he's back. Jesus has returned from death as the victor. But I'm going to press into that reality a little bit because, you know, it might be hard even for you sometimes to believe that like that really happened? I mean, when have you seen someone else do that? Seen someone else come back from the dead? Although, in my mind, there's a bigger danger or a greater challenge than just maybe questioning, you know, did that actually happen? Did he come back or not? So not did Jesus rise, but this is what I think is the real danger. Do we even want a living Jesus? And hear me on this, because if Jesus rose from the dead, well, then it seems like we can't just settle for this casual relationship of convenience with him. A living Jesus would require more than that. And this is where maybe there's some pushback from our spirits, because, I mean, I'll admit, you know, there's a certain convenience that comes in following a dead man. Because, you know, you can take or leave some of the teachings and there's no one really to object to that. I can have Christianity on my own terms. But boy, a living Jesus? Now he has a voice in my life. Now he has a claim on my time. Now he has a right to expect my devotion. Every day, continual devotion to him and service. And I'm just being honest with you, right? I was like, do I have time for that? Do you have time for that? Or do you like more like the distant Jesus, okay, who does some, you know, really cool kind of magic salvation tricks, but he doesn't really encroach on your space. Is Christianity maybe even for you this nice thing that you have to believe, but it doesn't interfere too much with your busy schedule? Here's the truth. Every one of us has something inside of us that doesn't want a living Jesus, at least at some level. Inside every one of us is something that we don't want the resurrection, at least in terms of the full implications of that and what that would mean for our lives and the changes that would happen in our lives or would need, it calls to have happen in our lives. But, well, I confess to you that that's true for me sometimes. There's another truth that overrides all of the objections that I might have. I need the resurrection. See, without the resurrection, the problem of sin is still out there. What did we hear from the reading in 1 Corinthians? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sin. Now, most days, when our school is in session here at Bethlehem, I'll head on down to the cafeteria and sit with the kids for lunch, right? Well, on one of those days, I sat across from a little girl named Rayleigh. Well, she's a 9-year-old in our school, and I'm not sure what prompted her to say this, but she asked me, "Do you sin?" And I suppose I could be flattered that she even had the question, right? But I had to be honest with her. I'm like, "Yeah, I sin." And I thought I was out of the woods until the next question came. What's a sin you commit? Now I'm in trouble, because what sin do I tell this 9-year-old girl? So I'm honestly answering the question, but it isn't inappropriate. Okay, so the thing that immediately came to my mind was unkind words. And that was honest. And I think it satisfied her, because she didn't come back with, "Oh, come on, you can do better than that." But wow, it's like, do I sin? Far too much. Far too often. And things that I don't want to tell anyone, let alone a 9-year-old girl. And because I know that the punishment for my sin, the fair punishment for my sin, is death. It's eternal death. I can't afford to have my faith be futile and to still be in my sin. I need the resurrection. And so do you. So do you. Do you sin? Do you sin? Yes, you do. So there are things that you do far too often, far too much. What kind of sins do you do? Well, both you and God know. Things I'm sure that you don't want to tell anyone. You and I mean, all of us, we need a resurrection. And that's the headline for today. There was and there is a resurrection. But if you go back to that first Easter, nobody knew about it. Not when the day began. You know, that group of women who we have in the Gospel of Luke, who are going to the tomb, they're the first ones to find out. But they're going to the tomb because they think Jesus is dead. They're grieving. And even when they see the stone is rolled away and they realize that Jesus' body is gone, they're still not thinking that he rose. They're thinking his dead body maybe has been moved. But a resurrection is hard to believe, remember? But then they have the angels. The angels come, and now the unexpected, the thing they weren't anticipating, has been proclaimed. Jesus says, he has risen. Now, we're not done with those who are questioning, having trouble believing that that had happened, okay? Because the women go and they go tell a group of people that are referred to simply as the 11 and all the rest. So you've got the apostles, right? Minus Judas, so that's 11. And then all the others who were there with them. So these are the pillars of the faith, right? And yet, verse 11, it says that the words that the women brought, they seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They're like, you might as well tell us Jesus rode a unicorn across a rainbow into outer space. An idle tale. And this isn't just like a story that's hard to believe. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now we know, disciples, they eventually got on board, right? Peter and John, they run to the tomb to see for themselves. And then the later appearances of Jesus to his disciples that same day. And eventually they were convinced, okay, he's back. He's back. But it was a little bit of a journey that day to get there. And don't imagine that it was all joy either. I mean, remember, what was the last interaction that the disciples had with Jesus before all of this? It was basically that they all abandoned him. All of the disciples ran away. Peter denied him. And even at the cross, most of them stood at a distance. It was not the disciples' finest moment. So, gosh, if Jesus really is back, like he's really alive, is that all good? Or is Jesus going to come in judgment? He's going to reprimand them for their lack of loyalty or their unfaithfulness or their cowardice. Did the disciples want a living Jesus? And maybe not. And you can imagine that the disciples had some guilt over how all that played out. And, to have to face Jesus after what they had done, I can relate to that. Maybe you can too. I'd like to think that I want a living Jesus. But he knows everything about us. Those moments that aren't our best, that lack of loyalty, our unfaithfulness, our cowardice. Oh, and to think of facing Jesus after what we've done? Do we want a living Jesus? Do we want a resurrection? Yes. Yes, we do. And in the angel's words, we're reminded of why. Now, you sort of pick up from the angels that people believing in the resurrection, it shouldn't be hard for people to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. It certainly shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be unexpected. And definitely, it shouldn't be something that they don't want, that they want to push away. Listen to the angel's words. Remember how he told you, talking about Jesus, while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Remember, he said, remember. Now, this isn't a question. Like, hey, do you remember that? This is a declaration. The angel said, remember what he told you. Go back to his words. And then that declaration is kind of a shorthand of the gospel. Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinful men and he was crucified because that was the divine plan to make payment for the sins of the whole world. Our sins, our moments that are not our finest, our lack of loyalty, our unfaithfulness, our cowardice. Jesus went to the cross. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men and he was crucified for you and me to strip us of all the guilt we feel and all the regret we carry. And because Jesus rose on the third day, We know the job was done. And we know that that payment for sin was accepted by God. And that's why we want a resurrection. That's why he's back. It's really good news. We do want a living Jesus. Now, after the resurrection, as the news of Jesus' resurrection spread throughout the world, it transformed lives. It changed lives exponentially. You know, everyone agrees is the historical fact. And this, by the way, it's Christians, it's non-Christians. It doesn't matter. Everyone agrees. The church, the Christian church, grew exponentially after the resurrection. You know, the church started out, you know, it's a relatively small group of people, right? You know, maybe several hundred. Well, by 100 AD, they estimate that there were 7,500 Christians. Well, that skyrocketed over the next 100 to 150 years to anywhere between 200,000 to a million. And by 300 AD, we have 6 million. We hit 6 million Christians. And in the next 50 years, we hit 30 million. So that's roughly half of the entire population of the Roman Empire. And everyone agrees that this growth happens. Where we may part ways is on the why. So I went to my very good friend, AI, and I asked, well, you know, how do people who do not believe in Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead, how do they explain that growth? Okay, the top answer on the list. And remember, these are people who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. The number one answer on the list was the sincere belief on the part of the followers of Jesus that he really did rise. So they're acknowledging that the contemporaries of Jesus, the people who lived the events, who were there, the eyewitnesses, truly believed that Jesus rose. I mean, shouldn't that tell you something? I also found it compelling, you know, the other reasons that they had, again, these are the unbelievers, the people that don't believe in the resurrection, only for different reasons. How do you explain the resurrection and the growth that happens after the resurrection there? How do you explain that growth if there is then no resurrection of Jesus? I want you to listen to these. A compelling message of salvation. Care for the marginalized. Relentless missionary work. Martyrdom. People died. And a cohesive community, a connected community. Now, I know that those things, they're all reasons that these unbelievers say this is why Christianity grew so much. But I'll tell you, isn't that a beautiful picture of our life in Christ? We have a compelling message of salvation. And we care for the hurting and the broken and the marginalized. And we want people to know that. So we're relentless in our mission work. And what we believe, that's important. It's true. So, yes, we'll die for it. A martyr's death. And I will tell you, the Christian church, if we get it right, is the most cohesive community on earth. We are a family. So why don't you want to believe Jesus rose from the dead? I know. Believing in a resurrection, resurrection is hard to believe. But what is hard to believe is true. It really happened. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's spend some time in prayer. And it is through the power and life that Jesus gives us in his resurrection that we can go to the Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the victory of Christ over the grave. It is our victory over the grave. And as we are baptized into Christ, we know we're baptized certainly into his death, but also into his resurrection. Thank you for that promise, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that those people who are still standing on the outside, who don't know, maybe some of them are curious, maybe some of them are starting to give it a listen, that they would hear your love call from the cross and the power of the resurrection and know a life of forgiveness of sins and salvation. Bless us as we celebrate, Lord, the victory that is ours through the victory that Christ accomplished. Lord, we pray for our world, all that's going on in our world, whether that's here in Colorado, where we certainly continue to need moisture, Lord. Send rain and snow on our state. We pray for the economy, our nations. I know the gas prices are hitting some people hard and other things as well. It's hard. It's hard. Be with those who have influence on the economy and policies that are enacted. Lord, also pray for how our leaders are handling things throughout the world, the conflict in the Mideast and Iran. Continue to protect our armed forces and those who serve in the name of freedom. Lord, we also pray for those serving in our country. There's a lot of division, Lord, a lot of differences of opinion. So we do pray for the role of the immigration and customs enforcement, and the personnel that work there, and just keeping our society well-ordered. Give them and all safety, righteousness, right actions, justice. That's what we pray, Lord. We pray that as individuals, we would use the opportunities you give us for good. Help us to use our influence, and we all have it, Lord, purposefully for you. We pray, Lord, not only for our Lakewood campus, but our Southwest campus and all the transition logistics, all of that as we look to open that campus with an early learning center and worship and kids ministry and all this coming August. Lord, we do pray as we're hosting another summer camp at our Lakewood campus here that you'd bring a director for that as we're seeking to hire for that position. We have hundreds of kids coming here, Lord, and we just want to run a great program for them. So help us to do that. We give you thanks, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you that while we grieve death in this life, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. So hear us as we pray in the one who's given us hope. In the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now as God's people, let's gather around the table that Christ sets for us. There's a mystery to this, and I embrace the mystery. What I see with my eyes, what you see with your eyes, simple means bread, wine, grape juice. But what are we receiving? The very thing that Jesus promises by the power of his word. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you're not communing, hear this word from God. He loves you. He's called you to be his. He washes you in the water of your baptism to strengthen, encourage, equip, and empower you for life in his name. Receive that strength in Jesus. Amen. And now, take and eat. This is Christ's body, and it is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then, take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank you. This eating of Christ's body, this drinking of his blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. And let's go from this time of worship as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with that blessing that God has placed on his people for thousands of years. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Blessings in your celebration of Easter. A reminder, we're opening up that Southwest campus in Littleton coming up this August. We're looking for families to say, this is where we're going to worship. We're going to stay here and we're going to commit to that location. So you might be thinking about that. Also, if we keep going south and maybe a little east, we get all the way to our campus in Guatemala. We think about them in San Antonio, Suchitepeques, as they're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity, if you want, to be a part of a trip down there and do some work at our care point, maybe even with the children that you sponsored, if you're sponsoring children. So we have some meetings coming up on the 19th of this month after both of our services. Just if you want some more information about making those trips, we'd love to have you be a part of that as well. And then if you want to get connected to Bethlehem, you're like, I've never been a member, and you want to go through Starting Point, that's the class. We just finished one up. We'll start another one next fall. So you got a little bit of a break here, but we'd love to have you be a part of that. And with that, take something from today, something that God has put on your heart, and put it into action. Use it as part of God's call to influence the people around you purposefully. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So love on. You are changing the world. Love on.